For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
This morning, we come expectantly around the Word of God, expectantly. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your Spirit in our midst. And we know that he is speaking words to us, words of encouragement, words of strength, words of leading. And Lord, we ask that our ears be open today in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're looking at this morning, put your hand to the plough. Put your hand to the plough. And it is obviously a farming term where work needs to be done in the field, and we don't say, well, we're not going to do the work, but we go into the field and we plough up that dirt ready for the cultivation, putting in seed and therefore the cultivation of the crop later on. So we know that there is work to be done, not only in this city but also in our own lives, and we must put our hand to the plough for the kingdom of God. We're going to see some aspects of that. Let's have a look first of all at Matthew chapter 4, verses 17 to 22. Matthew 4. We saw that Jesus called certain people, and indeed he calls us today. Everyone has something to give to the Lord. The Lord has given into our hearts and into our lives various talents, abilities, substance, finance, etc. Everyone has something to give to the Lord. But you know, one of the big things is that this world has a strong pull on it towards the flesh, towards the material realm. And people put a lot of value on what they see and what they sense, rather than on the Word of God and the leading of the Lord and the things of the Lord. Now we see something quite startling in this section in Matthew 4, verses 17 to 22. Let's read it. From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And they, what? Straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they, what? Immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. Now, verse 17 tells us that Jesus began to preach, so this was a preaching that came from, obviously, the Spirit of God. And the preaching was saying to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So the Lord Jesus Christ started a preaching ministry. He was the greatest preacher this planet has ever known. So people would have started to hear that word as well. So there would have been a preparation coming into people's hearts. One thing we see here is that when Jesus, and this example here, we see the example of the two brethren, Simon and Andrew, and the other two brethren, James and John, and we see that Jesus gave them a direction, a command: follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. In other words, he'd show them how to lead men into the kingdom of God. And you see also, he said to James and John, he said, and he called them, and immediately they left the ship. So here we see straightway, the brothers Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, straightway left their nets and followed him. There was no argument within them. There was no saying, oh, I need to clean the nets first. Or let me just get this final draft of fishes. Or I need to go and mention this to such and such. It was straightway. So you can see that the Spirit of God had been dealing with them already. And they were responsive when the word came to them. And what was the word that came to them? But follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. So they had a word that came to them, and immediately they responded to that word. Straightway, it says, they left their nets. And the same type of thing happened with James and John, and he called them. He called them. Come over. Come with me. He called them. And significantly, once again, we see this word immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. They didn't say, oh, I need to go and speak to my father, or I need to fix up the ship, or I need to do this or that. They immediately went over to Jesus when he called them. And this is very, very significant, because obviously they valued highly the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. They valued highly what the Lord Jesus Christ had for them and was saying to them. Go across to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, verses 59 to 62. We're living in a day where God is largely forgotten, and many of the Christians of today have not put their hand to the plough as God wants. In fact, the Lord gave me a word recently. He said, my people have five fingers. I said, Lord, what does that mean? And he took me to the scripture that he teaches our fingers to fight. We'll talk a little bit more about that later. And said to me, there are some of my people who are not even lifting a finger. We've heard that saying before, haven't we? A finger to help in the kingdom of God. That's a dangerous position to be in. That's a position of rebellion. Look at Luke chapter 9, and we'll start from verse 59, and we'll go to verse 62. Luke 9, 59. Here we see, once again, the word that Jesus gives to people, or has given to these people, and we see a different type of reaction. Verse 59, and he said unto another, follow me. But he's... No, see the word but there. But. Okay? But. Now think on that. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Now you would think that that's a significant thing. And, you know, in the framework of the world and so on, it may indeed be a significant thing. However, and this is where the priorities of the kingdom of God come in, Jesus said to this person, follow me. He didn't expect them to say, well, I'll follow you in 10 days' time, or in a year's time, or even in a day's time. He expected, and expects today, obedience. Here we see, but he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. So Jesus was calling this particular person to be a preacher. To be a preacher. And Jesus made a very significant statement there, let the dead bury their dead. There are many people, obviously, who aren't born again, who are dead in trespasses and sins, and they're doing all the types of things related to this life and leaving God completely out. Okay? Now, notice Jesus said, but, so he gives him a but now, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. Now, we don't see the result of whether this man then said, all right, I will immediately do that, go and preach the kingdom of God and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. You would hope that that's what that person would do. Now, Jesus was merciful in replying to him. Let the dead bury their dead. He was merciful, wasn't he? God is often long-suffering with people who kick against his ways, who say, no, I've got to do this in preference to that, and so on. He's long-suffering, but he's not going to continue to do that always. Okay? So there's people that have been called to follow him, to go and preach, to perhaps do this for the Lord, or witness to that person, or give that person a tract, or pray with that person, or do something for the kingdom of God, but they always have something else in the way. There's always something, and of course the devil will oblige in this. He's ready to put the cares of this world into people, to help people along with their unbelief, to help people along with excuses, etc. Let's look at the next part there. Verse 61. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, once again, Jesus was merciful to this person, even though this person had a but. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plough and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Think of that word fit. That is, are they fitted? Are they ready? Are they in the right place? Okay, a tool that is fit for the purpose is a tool which will do the right thing. Okay, like you can get one of those screwdrivers, but it might not be right for the job that needs to be done. Now the Lord is preparing people. He's getting people into the right place. He's saying, look, this is where I want you to be. This is what I want you to do. But you've got to be ready in your heart. You've got to say, well, I value that. I value that. I value the word. I value prayer. I value the ways of God. I want to do what God wants me to do. And I'm not going to put these other things in the way. Now, does that mean that you neglect your family and things like that? Not at all. You see, if you put God first, remember, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, there's a promise attached to that, isn't there? And these things shall be added unto you. So it's not that God wants you to neglect your family and that and all that type of thing. He wants you. What he wants is for you and me to put him first in everything. Everything. And it says here, in verse 61. Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house. So even those of his own household shouldn't be in the way of him obeying the kingdom of God. And you can see the big difference between when he called his disciples, those two lots of brethren, back in Matthew 4 that we read. You see how they immediately heeded the word in contrast to what we're looking at here now. So if you put your hand to the plough and then for some reason start looking back, and it might be longing of the world's ways, or thinking in terms of regret or what you're missing out on or things like that. All types of, as I said, all types of reasoning and excuses can be put into people. Then you won't be fit for the kingdom of God. You won't be able to do what God wants you to do, and you'll miss out. You'll miss out. But that doesn't give God any pleasure. We'll read a scripture later which talks about the Lord has pleasure in those that aren't going backwards but are going forwards, okay, in faith, because we walk by faith, not by sight. Look at Ephesians 5, verses 1 and 2. So we must be people, and we should be people, who immediately and straightway are obedient to what God wants. So we have to be sensitive to the voice of the Spirit, to the voice of the Lord. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." So we should be saying, "Yes, I hear the voice of the shepherd. And if there's anything in the way, Lord, please show me that I may get it out of the way." This is so very important if we are to have any impact in this city and be a person of... This life is so short. And some of us may not even realise it until we're in heaven. And some people may not even get to heaven, but they may not even realise it until their life is finished here on earth, just how short it really was. You know, I'm almost halfway, assuming I get to 120, almost halfway through my life, and it's just seemed to have gone very quickly. Okay, so there is an urgency in myself to make sure that things are right. Really, it should be for every one of us. Ephesians 5, verses 1 and 2 says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savour." So God wants us to be followers of him as dear children. So we heed him. We say, "Yes, Lord, I will do what you want me to do." We walk in love. So that makes sure that we're not letting things of bitterness or unforgiveness or things like that to get in the way. But we should be Christ-like, as it says there, as Christ also hath loved us. So Christ-like. So we must be followers of God. It's a commandment there. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Responsive to God. Following him. Seeking him. Not allowing things to get in the way. Now, we've been given weapons of our warfare. We'll talk a little bit about that in a minute. And God teaches our hands and our hands to war and our fingers to fight. Let's look at that. Psalm 144, verses 1 and 2. You see, God gives us equipment, but if we don't use that, he gives us abilities, but if we don't use those, he gives us ways to go, but if we don't go those ways, what is the end of all of that? Are we going to be fit for the kingdom of God? Are we going to be able to accomplish anything? Are we going to have the blessing God wants in our lives? Well, clearly not if we're not going to be responsive to him. Psalm 144, and we'll look at verses 1 and 2 here. Of Psalm 144. It says, "Blessed be the Lord my strength." Are you saying that out of your mouth? "Thank you, Lord, you are my strength. You are blessed, and I am blessed through you. Blessed be the Lord my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. My goodness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield, and he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me." So here we see something that should be coming out of our mouth, and it should be something that's top of our mind in terms of understanding what the Lord is doing in our life. "Blessed be the Lord my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight." The fingers represent what the Lord has given you. What the Lord has given you. If you do not even raise one little finger to help, then you're not using what the Lord has given you, and you cannot be responsive to the Lord teaching you to fight. And what is that fight for Christians? We should know it. It's the good fight of faith, isn't it? The good fight of faith. It's the good fight, the victorious fight. Because this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Okay? So faith is very, very important. We need to be taught about faith. And this is where we are taught how to use everything that the Lord has given us. My fingers to fight. Everything that the Lord has given us. Okay? To fight. You might say, oh, I don't want to fight. I'm not a fighting person. You are a fighting person because the Lord has called you a soldier. And he's given you weapons of warfare. You cannot say as a Christian you're not to fight. You have a fight to fight. You have a war. You are in the middle of a war. We are not on a neutral planet. The planet Earth is not neutral to God. At the moment, the Bible says, the whole world lieth in wickedness. And the devil deceiveth the whole world. Okay, so we are living in an environment on this planet that is filled with hatred to God. Filled with the enemies of God. But you know what God wants? He wants to use us to war, to fight, to stand, because it talks about him being our strength, to accomplish something for the kingdom of God, to be fit for the kingdom of God, fit for the master's use, now, in this time. Because when you're in heaven, there's no enemies in heaven. There's no enemies there. There's none of the curse there. But you know, right here is where the rewards are gained, is where the victories are gained, eternal victories for the souls of men and women. How much we should be examining our hearts. How much more should we be people of prayer? How much more should we be people that seek the Lord, that say, Lord, use me. Use me. Do something with me, Lord. I want to be used of you. I want to be used of you. God is teaching our fingers to fight. Everything that we have available to us, he's teaching us. We have to be responsive to listening to him. What are you saying, Lord? What are you saying? I want to hear, and I will hear. I will hear. 1 Timothy 6, verses 11 and 12. Let's look at that. God has a people in the earth today. He has not given up on man. He wants the kingdom of God to go forward. And in fact, we're coming up to a great time of blessing in the church worldwide. A great time where there's going to be great evangelism. God will require his people to be working all the more diligently for him. We're looking at 1 Timothy chapter 6. Verses 11 and 12. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, talking about evil things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. So God wants you to follow after these things actively. And this is part of being a follower of God. Following after these things actively. Actively following means actually step by step going forward, not just standing in one place, not accepting just any old thing that the devil's thrown at you and thinking that all the imaginations the devil has thrown at you is the reality, but receiving what is of the Lord and what his teaching is to us. What he is teaching us, teaching our fingers to fight. So it says, follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. You should know what all of those are. Verse 12, fight the good fight of faith. It's good because you have victory and the victory can be manifested. You have the weapons of your warfare. You have the name of Jesus, the mind of Christ, the sword of the Spirit. Follow after those things that we've mentioned there. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. What does it mean to lay hold on eternal life? Well, you may remember I've said eternal life starts when you're born again. And eternal life is being forever or living forever with God in His kingdom. But eternal life is quality of life. It's a spiritual quality. It's having the Lord in your heart. And you communicating and being with the Lord and doing what the Lord wants and so on. Following after the right things instead of the wrong things. Heeding the right things. Listening to the Lord. Going forward in God. Lay hold on that. Lay hold on all the blessings in eternal life. Lay hold on what the Lord has done for you and what He's made you. You're a new creature in Christ. You have strength in Him. Lay hold on all of that and go forward in Him. So it says, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called. So we are called for that. And hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. There's people you don't even know that have been looking at your life. You can be a good witness or a bad witness. If you're a good witness, you'll be following after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness, all the things that the world does not follow after. But you've got to put your hand to the plow, say, I am willing. I am willing for you to teach, for all my fingers to fight, all of them, all my fingers to fight. Everything I have, I'm willing for you to teach me how to use it all for you. All for you, Lord. All for you. All for you. All for you. Not for me. Even Jesus, when he was on earth, he said, not my will, but thine be done. And said to the Father. So all for God. All for God. All for God. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verses 1 to 4. 2 Timothy 2, verses 1 to 4. God is speaking, I believe, not just to this church and to us, but to the church right across this land and even right across the earth. This is a message that the Lord is giving right across the body of Christ. It says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. So can you be strong? Yes, you can. You can be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And you should say that. I am strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Verse 2, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, we shall be able to teach others also. There has to be teaching in the body of Christ. In fact, there is just such a woeful lack right through the body of Christ of good quality, proper doctrinal teaching centered on the Lord and going His way and walking by faith. Such a great lack of that. But God wants it to be done. Verse 3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Okay, so hardness is a part. Look, as I said before, you're not living on a neutral planet. There's going to be words spoken against you, actions against you and so on. But how do you react to that? Walk in love, don't you? Well, that's what you're supposed to. We read before that we're to be followers of God and walk in love. So you've got to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. A soldier is obedient if he's good or she is good, and they acknowledge the commands of the master. Okay? Acknowledge the commands of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, verse 4 harkens back to what we saw was happening in Luke 9, where they said, yeah, I want to follow you, or I'll do that, but there's this happening, and I need to do this first, and so on. Verse 4 says, no man that warreth. Now, that's got to be every one of us. It's not just ministers of God, it's every one of us. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Do you want to please the Lord? Then don't be entangled with the affairs of this life. Entanglement causes you to be trapped in one place. It's a snare. It causes you not to be able to move forward. Following is about moving forward, isn't it? Walking by faith is about moving forward. Well, if you're all entangled, you can't do that. And you can't please God without faith. And verse 5 says, and if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. Lawfully according to the word of God. Masteries, as in we want to be the best. We want the Lord to show us how to use all of our fingers to fight. All of what we have to fight. We want the Lord to show us. And when we put our hand to the plow, we're not going to look backwards, because there's nothing there for us. We're going to look forward. And so we are fit for the kingdom of God to do what God wants us to do. Lastly, I want us to look at Hebrews 10, verses 38 and 39. Hebrews 10, 38 and 39. What we're talking about here is giving pleasure to the Lord, which we know to be the function, or was meant to be the function, of his creation. And we see here in Hebrews 10, verses 38 and 39. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Are there people drawing back? Are there people looking at the world around, oh, it's hopeless, and giving up? Or joining in with the world even, and saying, well, I've got to be relevant, so I've got to try and do this to get to the people, and then they get themselves all entangled in the world's ways. Are there people drawing back now? Yes, most definitely. We have a great problem in the body of Christ. It needs to be cleaned up. Many things. Many people drawing back. And the Lord has no pleasure in that, because you've got to walk by faith. Faith gives him pleasure. Without faith, it's impossible to please him, the Bible tells us. And the just shall live by faith. You can't be sight and feelings oriented in this war, in this fight. You have to be open to the teaching of the Lord to teach you to war and to fight. Verse 39, but we, what a wonderful confession, but we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. What's the saving of the soul? Remember, the soul is not born again, but it does need to be saved. It needs to be renewed. It needs to be restored. Okay? That's what the saving of the soul is all about. We are people that believe. That's part of faith. We are people that don't draw back. We set our hand to the plough and we don't give up, we don't quit, we keep on going forward. And we seek the Lord to teach us, to show us, to lead us, to strengthen us, to encourage us. God is for us. We will not fear. We will not draw back. We will not be people of unbelief, but we will be people that will set our hands to the plough and go forward to do the work that is necessary for the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord. Let's close in prayer. Father, we praise you. We thank you. We thank you for your calling in our lives. You've called us to be followers of you. Lord, help us. You are our help. Show every person here your way. Let eyes be opened, ears be open, in the name of Jesus, to understand, to take hold of. And whereas we may have thought we've done our best, you reveal to us what is our best, what is the way, what is to do, to be done in this the kingdom of God. We praise you, Lord, and thank you. And we ask it in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father.